Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research to new ways to improve government performance. Learn more about the center by visiting us at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Show Hour features a conversation with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Dr. Ron DeHaven, administrator of the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Good morning, Dr. DeHaven.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on your show.
And joining us in our conversation also from IBM is Mike Wasson. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you for being here.
Well, Dr. DeHaven, let's start by learning more about APHIS. Could you tell us about the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service and its role within USDA?
Certainly. Our motto within APHIS is safeguarding American agriculture, which I think really speaks to what we do. We're responsible for ensuring safe and healthy agricultural products, both on the plant and animal side. Indeed, Secretary Veneman at one point had made reference that if she were starting to rebuild USDA all over again, she would start with the foundation, that being APHIS. We have several program units within the agency: Veterinary Services, Plant Protection Quarantine, Biotechnology Regulatory Services, Wildlife Services, International Services, and Animal Care, all which speak to specific roles we have in a very broad mission area.
How do you describe the size? I mean, you've gone through a wide range of programs. Could you tell us about the budget and even the skills of the people on your team?
In terms of the budget, it's actually grown quite dramatically. In fiscal year 01, we had an appropriation or appropriated budget of $445 million. The president's budget for fiscal year 05 is $828 million. That taken along with the frequent apportionment of monies for emergency purposes, which last few years have averaged about $250 million a year. We're basically a billion-dollar agency. In terms of numbers of people, the numbers vary depending on what you're looking at. In terms of full-time permanent employees, we're somewhere in excess of 4,000 employees, but when also including Foreign Service national employees around the world and temporary employees that we hire, we're in excess of 7,000 people.
And the skills of these folks?
Wide variety, as you might guess, given the program units that we have in the agency. On the plant side, we have plant pathologists and botanists. On the animal health side, veterinarians and epidemiologists. We employ wildlife biologists, biotechnologists, program analysts, economists. We have a public affairs staff with several public affairs specialists and writer-editors. And then also, because of the monies that we involve, contracting specialists and financial managers.
Well, Dr. DeHaven, can you share with us your roles and responsibilities as administrator for APHIS?
I look at my job as providing the vision and leadership for this agency, ensuring that we have the resources, both human and financial, to carry out our mission, and then represent the agency in a variety of situations, both internally and externally.
In April of 2004, you became administrator of APHIS. Can you tell us a little bit about the background before you became administrator?
Well, I graduated from veterinary school at Purdue University in 1975 and actually went to school with the intent of being a small animal dog and cat practitioner. I did 4 years with the Army Veterinary Corps, which I found very rewarding, and during that period also gained some clinical practice experience. But at the end of my tenure in the Army, I was intrigued by government service and actually then took my first job with the government in APHIS in 1979. I spent the first 6 years of my career, which I think was very valuable, in the field as a field veterinary medical officer dealing with primarily livestock disease issues. From there, I moved into a middle management position as the assistant area veterinarian in charge in our state of Mississippi. And then 4 years after that, started a 12-year stint in our animal care program, overseeing administration of the Animal Welfare Act and the Horse Protection Act. It was then about 4 years ago that I came back to our veterinary services unit as the deputy administrator of that organization, and of course have been the administrator now for 2 years. So I think what I find most interesting is that I went to veterinary school with the intent of being a dog and cat practitioner, now find myself as a Washington bureaucrat with far more reaching implications and responsibilities when it comes to both animal and plant health, and am enjoying myself as a Washington bureaucrat, something back in 1975 I would never have imagined happening.
You have an interesting background where you have both a doctor of veterinary medicine and an MBA. How did you combine your two degrees for maximum effectiveness in the work environment?
As I mentioned with my veterinary degree, I think that degree has opened up a wide array of opportunities, both from clinical medicine to being a Washington bureaucrat. The master's in business administration came at a time when I had made the career decision that I wanted to stay with government and focus on management of programs and people. I realized at the time, and actually fully came to realize during the course of obtaining that degree, that we need to market ourselves and run our government agencies like business runs itself. And so I think through both degrees, the Doctor of Veterinary Medicine and the MBA, I've had the technical background, technical experience, but also now the management experience to provide oversight and leadership for a government agency and focus on running government like a business.
I'd like to pick up on that point where you talked about getting an MBA when you began to understand the importance of management. What was it like as you were transitioning from a doer when you were describing, you know, providing services to animals as a veterinarian and to becoming a manager? Could you take us through that?
I think before that, Paul, I'd even realized that while the private veterinary practitioner certainly has some strong and influential impact on families and individual animals, by working with a government agency, we actually have tremendous impacts on population of animals. And so that's where I wanted to take my career, was in veterinary medicine, but looking at a broader picture, recognizing that animal agriculture has tremendous implications for our economy and for the health and well-being of a large number of animals, as well as the basis for employment of many people in this country. So I recognized the potential there, had also had a taste as a middle management of managing people and managing programs, and enjoyed that as well.
Well, tell us about some of the differences in terms of your training as a veterinarian and then what you began doing now as a manager. One of the things I'm drawn to is sort of the size of the groups of people you dealt with. I imagine from having animals that veterinary experiences one-on-one, and generally the customers don't complain very much, I imagine. And now you're with much broader teams of people that you have to influence. Tell us about some of the differences in the training.
You know, ultimately, Paul, it comes down to dealing with people one-on-one and having interpersonal skills, whether you're dealing with that pet owner or a herd owner whose herd of cattle has just been recently diagnosed with brucellosis. From there, you take it to my current position, where typically I'm working one-on-one with individuals who represent larger, broader constituencies. At the end of the day, it's interpersonal skills and working one-on-one with people. It's just the stakes are different, whether we're talking about an individual animal or an individual herd of animals versus populations of animals. At the end of the day, it's a matter of employing good common sense and having the interpersonal skills to explain your situation and your position.
And how about the speed of decisions and the things you can make an impact on? I imagine it must have been very rewarding to work one-on-one in a small setting and solve a problem with an animal or what, and see that work its way out. And now to think about solving something in a population seems much harder and would take more time.
I think that, for the most part, is very true. When you're dealing with an individual animal, oftentimes it's life and death situations and decisions need to be made very quickly. On the other hand, when you're dealing with populations and diseases and disease programs that have broad implications for a large population of people and a larger population of animals, typically that decision-making process is much slower, requires a transparent and open process that allows the public and all stakeholders to have an input on that decision. That's how government does work and should work, and we certainly emphasize having an open and transparent process. Not everyone is cut out for that kind of work. Bureaucracies are intended to be somewhat inefficient so that they provide that opportunity for everyone to have input. It's something that you develop a skill and ability to work within our system, which again, by some accounts, is intended to be somewhat inefficient in that it does provide for broad constituencies to have input.
That's interesting. As I think about you getting an MBA and your point about, you know, making government act more like a business, and you talked about the need for inefficiencies, are there any other places that you've noticed where it almost shouldn't run like a business?
Well, we don't have a bottom line, per se, to worry about in government in terms of having to generate revenue, rather making the best use of taxpayer dollars that are appropriated by Congress or otherwise made available to us. But whether you generate a revenue or have an appropriation, it's getting the most bang for your buck, making sure that that how you use that money is used efficiently and effectively. In our case, it's for the public in general as opposed to private business, where you have that customer that you're trying to give them the most benefit for their dollar spent.
That's an interesting point, especially about the need for openness and transparency. We're all aware of mad cow disease. How are we tracking and testing for this disease? We'll ask Dr. Ron DeHaven of the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service to tell us about this when the Business of Government Hour returns.